100 Word Stories.
Hello, everybody. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com, blah, 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 blah. It's 2014, brand new year, brand new attitude. No, it's not a brand new attitude. Same old attitude coming right at you, blah, blah. I'm recording this on Saturday night instead of Sunday morning because I just feel like it. I'm using the new Blue Yeti thingy. It's working okay. It's going to work a lot better when I get that shock mount and put it on a boom and all that. So you may hear a few differences in sound. I'm trying to use noise reduction in Audacity and all that crap. You don't care about that. You want the weekly challenge. You want to hear other people's stories with their audio quality, not me rambling. This will be an incentive for me to stop rambling and get right on with it. I paid all this money for this thing. Well, I didn't really pay anything. Amazon gift certificates. So whoever sent me those, I think it was mom or my mother-in-law, whatever. Thank you to them. Right. Get on with the show. It's weekly challenge 402. The topic is horn. And we start off with Lizzie. Tell us a story.
The husband, wearing horn-rimmed glasses, sat in the car waiting. His wife was chatting with a hot neighbor while lightly touching his arm and smiling a pathetic smile. The husband blew the horn and waved for her to hurry. They were late. The orchestra rehearsal was starting in 10 minutes. She gave him that look of disgust, and he knew. That night, when she was fast asleep, his friends came over with the gear. The husband blew the horn, the orchestra horn that became the hunting horn. No one ever saw her again. Next on the list was the neighbor. This was my story for this week. Check out my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie, with the first story in the weekly challenge of 2014. Oh, is that it? No more? Man, there really weren't people taking up the challenge of horn. I guess nobody liked that. Oh! I looked in the wrong inbox. Okay, here are a few more. We got another one from John Musico. Yep, he's put this one together, and let's roll it out of the garage. John, tell us a story.
Heaven, Heaven by John Musico. Harold led a Christian life, died and awoke in heaven. He reclined on a small cloud like a pillow, arms folded behind his neck. An angel approached and said hurriedly, "Sit up straight. Fix up your wings." Harold, bewildered, asked, "Whatever is wrong?" The anxious angel replied, "Do you want to go to heaven, heaven, or not?" Resigned, Harold sacrificed every joy. Then he awoke to yet a new place. It was clear he would have to endure perfection for all eternity. Harold asked, "Is this heaven, heaven?" His horned escort replied bleakly, "Call it what you will."
Ah, yes. Memories, memories. Thank you, John Musico. I love that one. You know what you're going to love a lot, too? These stories by Jeffrey. See, I'm just rolling. Whoa, I knocked a... I actually have a mouse pad for once. Instead of scraping along the table, you probably hear that because of all the jostling from the... This is a really sensitive microphone. I need to set the levels right and all that. Until then, you're going to hear a lot of thump and, you know, thumping and keystrokes and crap. Hopefully next week that'll all get solved because I'll take the time to actually test this thing. And I'll have the shock mic, boom shock mount thing, whatever the hell it is. Let's listen to Jeffrey.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher here with a couple of stories on the topic of horn. But before I begin, two brief items. First, Lawrence, you ask why we keep sending stories here instead of other Drabblecast sites. I can only speak for myself, but a big reason is the community that's built itself around the weekly challenge. Coming every week, or nearly every week, it's like a small circle of friends I've never met. That, and where else would I hear the host ramble on about K-Cups and Baileys, or rant about Paul Walker, or keep everyone up to date on the dangers of riding an overloaded bike? This place is unique. Second, on last week's podcast, you said something about Second Life music and mentioned Kurosh Dini. In the Small World department, I know of Dini from his book on OmniFocus. I knew that he composed and played music, but had no idea that he was in Second Life, so I find that interesting. And with that, on with the stories. My first story is called French Horn. Eugene always moved to the beat of his own drummer. Instead of taking on the trumpet, as so many children his age did, his instrument was the French horn. He knew it looked silly, and other kids teased him mercilessly, but Eugene didn't care. He loved being the odd one, and the French horn was his baby. The orchestra director stopped the rehearsal again. "Eugene," he roared, "you're out of sync with the others. Again." "Sorry, Mr. Dobson. I guess I just moved to the beat of my own drummer." "Well, move to the beat of this drummer," Mr. Dobson pointed to a shaggy-haired boy poised to bang on the bass drum, "or get out of this orchestra." Eugene continued with his instrument, but after that, his heart was never really into it. My second story is called Unclear on the Concept. Hank traveled to Africa and found an unscrupulous hunter. Together, they tracked a rhinoceros, killed it, and took its horn. Back home, he ground the horn and slipped the powder into Sarah's drink. He watched as she drank it all, giddy with anticipation of the night's amorous activities. "Gross," Sarah said, spitting out the drink. "This glass must have been dirty. There's still some powder in it." Once again, Hank left early, with only a goodnight kiss for his troubles. No amount of evidence could convince him that consumption of horn didn't cause horniness. Well, that's it for me this week. Hope everybody had a good new year. I'll be back next week.
Wow, it is a small world. Cool. Yeah, I do my reading at 9 o'clock my time, and then at 10 o'clock I'm like, oh shit, I don't feel like going there. But, dude, yeah. And I've got an album or two of his. I wish I had all of them. So what I'll do is I'll probably end up buying all of them. Oh, man. As for coming back, I think people took a break this week. It's Saturday night, and there are only, like, 8 people. Julie hasn't sent in her recording yet. Oh, man. It's not the Empire Avenue thing, is it? Because I dumped Empire Avenue, and the only people that were really involved in the weekly challenge from them, truly involved, were that Tammy Kibler. She wrote some good stories, and that Myers guy from the consulting thing. He wrote a few good ones, too. The rest? Eh, hit and run. And the comments that they left, really? Did they really listen to the stuff? Really? And also all the ones that said, oh, yeah, I'll be back. I love this. I listen to it all the time. And they don't leave comments. They're gone. They're gone. I didn't say anything. It's like, nope. Whenever I don't ask for comments, you know, they vanish. You know, it's all social network, guru, fly-by-night, whatever crap. And if any of y'all out there who still stuck around and are listening, prove me wrong. Make me eat my words with wasabi on them. No, with Vegemite on them. Oh, that's bad. So there you go. That's my rant. I don't really have much in me tonight. Man, Keurig cups. I got more samplers, and I have a notebook, and I'm writing down which ones are good, which ones suck. And the cafe caramel one is a favorite so far. Although I got those roll your own ones where you fill your own little basket, and I flooded the thing. I didn't put the cap on it. But I'm going to try it with Kona tomorrow morning when I finish off this podcast. So you'll know when I'm all, oh, God, do I have to do this anymore? So, right. Let's keep going here. And this stupid thing keeps closing my window. The next stories are by Richard, who hopefully is feeling better. Are you feeling better, Richard?
Good morning and happy new year. I'm not particularly happy. I've still got my cold. So as a consequence, I'm going to be miserable and give you just one story. It's called Hangover. The hangover was the worst I'd had for some time. With head pounding and acute nausea, all I wanted to do was sleep. It was a rotten day, too. The howling wind and driving rain outside the window conspired to make me feel even worse. I switched off the light, and without its glare felt an immediate improvement. Now if only that wretched noise would stop. What the hell was it? Some sort of horn. The alarm clock, maybe? Fumbling in the darkness, I found a button, pressed it, and silence. Bliss. Even us lighthouse keepers need a break occasionally. And hopefully, next week, I will feel better. Until then, goodbye.
Hopefully you are feeling better next week, Richard, because you're sounding an awful lot like the original Holly from Red Dwarf, and I'm worried that you're going to tell me that I've been asleep for 3 million years, and that Arnold Rimmer is going to be my co-host on this podcast. But thank you, and I do hope that you're feeling better, and I hope everyone is feeling better. It was a rough year last year, but you try to look at the positive, and you wind up seeing a whole bunch of negative. What can I say? I'm a miserable pain in the ass. But someone who is positive? Serendipity. She cheers me up every time. You don't believe me? Take a listen to this.
The sound of the horn came ever closer at his heels. The terrified victim plunged headfirst into a thicket and sat shivering, hoping desperately that the hunt would pass him by. All too soon, the noise of hoofbeats, shouts, and the baying of hounds filled the forest, and the pursued shrank deeper into his hiding place. The horn sounded again, a victory blast, followed by a thrashing of the ferns hiding him. The cowering creature looked up at his pursuers in terror. The fox, peering down at him, laughed, before letting the hounds loose, tearing the defenseless human to pieces.
I feel better already. You cheered me up. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Serendipity. I was ready to go off the deep end and just, I don't know. My goal is to get this thing going for 10 years and then decide, do I want to keep going? I do that every year. I'm at 8 years? 8.5 years. Although I did a search on my name and, God, I'm still linked from Instapundit? I'm not a blogger. I don't do that crap anymore. I write this stuff and ramble and things like, whatever. The point is, I should do less rambling and instead just kick it to Tom, who's got a bunch of stories. Dude, this guy's on fire. Not literally, no. Don't blast him with a fire extinguisher. Unless you really want to.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got 4 stories. Story 1. There's a 12-step for that. I have a rather odd hobby. I collect television set props from a show called The Lost Room. Damn good entertainment that was. There are about 100 objects that are listed as must-have. They vary from an 8-sided ashtray to a Bakelite 17T13 Motorola. All these items were readily purchasable in 1961, but today they are referred to as mid-century antiques. The maddening thing about this search is a wide array of differences in production runs. Take the Ray-Ban Ames-era tortoiseshell safety glasses, has 7 different types of studs in the horn rims. Story 2. Old Four Eyes. In 1962, anyone wearing glasses were in horn rims. From LBJ to Uncle Walter to poor Mary Elizabeth Sullivan, big old industrial black frames sat on your nose. How I got my first set of glasses was quite accidental. A teacher had told my parents my brother Dave was having difficulty reading the blackboard, and he should be tested. Somehow I got dragged into the ophthalmologist's office after major complaints. Not an appealing proposition signing up to look like a raccoon. I can still remember the smell of heated plastic and the warmth as they got popped on my nose. Story 3, kinda. In sharp focus. As I recall, the ophthalmologist's office was on a second story. A small window in the front of the building faced onto a city street. For reasons unknown, I looked out the window. For the first time in my life, an infinite field of focus appeared. It's hard to philosophize at 9, but at 60, I can safely say my view of the world changed that moment. Before that, everything beyond my reach was unfocused and discountable. After that moment, everything leaped up and demanded inspection. Armed with my horn rims, I was ready to engage with the universe. And the last story, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 30. Your intel is shoddy, Master Tim, rebuffed Dino. Senator Smith reached into his coat pocket, removed his cobalt horn-rimmed glasses. From his hand-stitched wallet, he pulled out a titanium card. He read the following. Kruznik O2, power output 1% activated. Dinomod froze in mid-sentence and fell forward, stiff as a board, his head propped upward on the tip of his nose. Mathelm Override 3.14159265335. Dino disappeared. Matt did a backspring, came up with a Walther PPK barrel resting on Timmy's forehead. Smith snapped his fingers, and Matt fell backwards on the deck.
Thank you, Tom. Wow, I never knew that about you, collector. You know what I collect? Things from Millard Fillmore. With Millard Fillmore, I've got an album, which, you know, there weren't those back then, but stamps, a tobacco pouch, a plate, a presidential spoon, a Pez dispenser, a little figurine, a postcard, too. I love things with Millard Fillmore on them. I don't know why. It became an obsession. And I worship him now. I've given up on the whole God thing and the Yahweh and all that. No, I worship Millard Fillmore. So, Millard be praised. All deserve... What is she yelling about? I don't know. This is why I usually record on Sunday morning instead of Saturday. love. So, who's next after Tom? Zachman. And he's got two of these. Oh, cool. You want to know why I go silent all of a sudden? No, it's so that I can get the noise reduction footprint. So, here's Zach, man.
Zach walks through a pasture. It seems like a bull thinks Zach is trying to horn in on his cow action. Zach wishes people did not spread those rumors that were untrue of most bronies. Not that he doesn't love animals, but he doesn't love animals. Although the bull has no horns, it is quite ornery, wishing some alone time with his herd. Zach remembers the motivational speaker told him when there was an unexpected problem, all he had to do was take the bull by the horns. But here, Zach is getting charged by a polled bovine.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
I love posting online, like to do it all the time. It would be fine to use caps all the time, but I can't type in all caps. I love all caps, typing in all caps. My peeps tell me I'm shouting, but I'm not shouting. I love all caps. I really love all caps. But I can't use all caps. My friends say that I look angry, but I grew up in the 80s when it meant you hit the shift key. And I can't type all caps. I really love all caps, but I can't use all caps.
I'm going to have to go back and read that. I think there's a message there. Something about caps. Any blasting caps? Those are fun. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Zach, man. I'm reading this one again here. Okay, now it's... Okay. All right, now I understand. I like that one. I'm going to go wear a cap. While I go get a cap, how about you listen to Spate? Yeah? He's back. Yeah. This one's mostly true tales. Okay. All right. There goes my silence for the noise reduction. I really need to get the shock mount and do these on Sunday morning. Gina already did the laundry tonight, so I got nothing better to do tomorrow. I'm just going to fiddle and fritter, and I don't know what to do. I'm not going to drink I'm not going to do a cappuccino. I'm going to do a sleepy time tea, because I have sleepy time tea instant. It's not supposed to be good. The thing I'm trying it through the Keurig with all the samplers and trying all the different samples of tea for the taste of it. And then what I'll probably do is just do the hot water through the Keurig thing, you know, take out the plungy thing and just pump out hot water through it and then have the tea bag in there and let it steep. I know, $100 for a thing that heats water. Oh, you could have gotten an electric kettle, genius. Yeah, well, whatever. Genius. So here's Spate and his story. You know, Spate?
Hey, this is Spate. My story this week is called Mostly True Tales from the Navy, Part 2, Millington. And here it is. I called him Red because of his fiery hair and disposition. We were in his white Chevy pickup, blowing down Highway 51 from Millington into Memphis. He was exceedingly animated, ranting about a solid horn section being essential to the blues, and how I was batshit crazy for favoring electric guitar. The dead-on headlights and horn blare of a Piggly Wiggly semi caught him mid-tirade. With manic laughter, Red cut us off-road into the mud, escaping certain death by inches. Grinning in the dashboard light, Red actually looked crimson, and I could have sworn he had horns. Background music for my story today, Niles Blues by Kevin MacLeod. Graciously provided through his website, Incompetech.com. Check it out. Kevin has a lot of great work there. Some I've used as background to other stories. Want to wish everyone a happy 2014 and thank the writers who assemble here for letting me join the group in 2013. The initiation hazing was tough, but well worth it. And thank you, Crap, for hosting. Yours is a noble cause. Hey, Tom, how many more steps do I climb to get Golden Monkey status? And does this 100-word trailer count?
Thank you, Spate. Oh, wow. It's Sunday morning. I had something recorded from last night, but I was like, eh, whatever. Cappuccino. Well, Kroger calls it French vanilla flavored cappuccino drink something. So it's just artificially flavored hot chocolate crap that's sort of, I don't know what it is. Tastes good though. I'm keeping a little notebook. So, I like it. Although I could just, you know, have plain stuff and then pump Tarani in it. Although, kind of burned out on the Tarani thing. So, who's next? Julie sent her recording in last night. We got a whole bunch of them last night. Hey, no more whining about, nobody has to dub it. So, here's Julie and her story.
Happy New Year, everybody. It's Julie, and welcome to my 100-word story. But of course, again, it's my 100-word poem. And this is my homage to the word horn. Who thought of the word horn? I want to know. This was difficult. In any event, this one is called Horns on the Byzantine Mantle. Yesterday, I stepped into my past. I rang the bell. Your small white-haired mother opened the door to our old lives. That dark Victorian dining room unchanged. Bert's Morris chair, the wobbly table, every book in its place. 30 years later, but the candle on the breakfront is new, floating in oil by a Byzantine icon. Black and white photo stands guard. A blonde, bare child laughs on the rocks with his wild-haired mother smiling. Over the old wood cabinet, mounted in the wall, are white desert horns. Arizona, the 1960s, remnants from a past I will never know. That's all I have for this week. Thank you, Lawrence, and thank you all for listening. And I will leave you with a little bazooki dancing. Galinita!
For a moment there, I thought I was listening to the third man. Whew. Thank you, Julie. And another person that's thanking you, well, not really a person. It's the morning, so Mist has jumped up here under the monitor, and she wants me to scratch her chin. Yeah, you don't want me to take any more flashy pictures of you. No, you don't. Yes, this could be a little chinny chin. She is such a good girl. She was on the bed, and my hand was over, and she was like, I'm going to pet myself, and I'm going to grab your hand, and I'm going to make you pet me. My tummies. Now she's rolling over. Oh, she's such a happy little girl. Yes, you are. Someone else who's happy and little is, of course, Cliff. Don't call him a happy little girl or try to rub his tummy, otherwise he will roll over and claw you. Just here's Cliff.
And here we are again on a Saturday night, where I have procrastinated to the last minute to write and send my stories. So here we go. It had been hard times for the village's crops. What the drought hadn't killed, the locust had eaten. It's no surprise that, when a traveling man passed through the village, no one wanted any of his wares. Love potions and alcoholic panaceas were not what the people wanted. But when he offered an enchanted horn of plenty to guarantee successful crops, the villagers jumped at it. They combined their meager savings and bought it. When the crops came in, however, it was all in the form of candy. The vile charlatan had sold them a horn of good in plenty. Sorry about that. Let's move on to my second story. I used to see a unicorn in the woods across from my grandparents' home. No one believed me, so eventually I stopped believing it myself. As I grew older, I convinced myself it had just been the imaginings of a child, and that it had never really happened. When Grandma died, she left letters for each of us. My cousins all got sentimental notes of encouragement. I bought out my cousins and now live in the old house. I haven't seen the unicorn, but I keep looking. My letter from Grandma had simply said, I saw it too. And that's all I've got. Thanks. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, Cliff. It's good to procrastinate early. That way you have more time to catch up. Or as Matt used to say, the sooner you fall behind, the more time you have to catch up. I don't know. He was a very wise person. Still is. Oh, man. Whew, I could drink that all day. I probably will. And then I'll be up all night going, they have decaffeinated. No, that would be called hot chocolate. Speaking of hot chocolate, that's our nickname, of course, for Justin Lowmaster, Space Turtle. Whew, salivating like mad. I should go talk to Pavlov or something. Go ring a bell. Here's Justin.
Space turtle.
If I had my own horn, I'd toot it. For example, I was recently published. Sure, I've been in benefit books before, but this time someone decided to pay me for it. Ouch. Just hit the wall. Here's what happened. I backed a Kickstarter campaign for Kaiser's Gate, an RPG setting where, before World War I, magic entered the world. In a backer update, I found there was a setback with an anthology I previously hadn't known about. Turns out some of the writers backed out. So I replied that I was a writer, I got the go-ahead, and the rest is now on sale at DriveThruRPG. Link in the show notes. Probably.
No, that link is there. I copied and pasted myself. But you see, Justin combined the shameless plug and the story. Okay, well, that'll work. Whatever. Whatever we can get out of the guy. He's busy. He's procrastinating. Even more than Cliff. Thank you, Justin. But cool, you're in an anthology. And Mist is on the table.
Who's got a pretty tail? Yes, he does.
I'm going to put I don't know. It's not a very good photo. Maybe I'll make that one in the show notes to make the internet go faster. Who's next? Sing! We're going to find out more about the madam, the yogi, the penguins, all that stuff. And you're probably hearing me tapping on the table. Still don't have that boom mic all set up, but when it is, this microphone will be floating in air. You'll be so cool. You'll be jealous of me. I'll be jealous of me. How about I just play Sing Stories? Does that work? Okay.
Foreign Madam and the White Yogi by Chris Mooney Singh, Chapter 23 continued. In this installment, Margot is sitting in the bus with her children on the way to Hastinapur. And as she slips the beads of her mala, her rosary, through her fingers, she also begins to feel that Yogi is also slipping through the same fingers. Love tells the fragrant round to mark time. Ennui rolls its singularity and sounds a bleating horn of thought. Watch yourself, it's out of your hands. And other beads drip saltiness despite her will. It is a test to let go hope or outside help. But why, she thinks, don't I deserve a man to stay and give and not just take? If love is more than what is lived, where is the rest? I want the lot, not the passenger seat. And yet, I mustn't say a word or sound a note of discord. Love, let's go. Now came a scruffy flock of nomad sheep, hard bleating, clogging the black river. The bus slowed down, a barge with horn, a bully. Unsubtle, the herald yelled all the way from Delhi to Andhra Pradesh at 60 million Banjaras in search of gypsy grass. Who am I, she thought, the herder of greasy sheep, driver with four stick no better than my teachers, Queen Poonam or Vulture undermining from mid-seat, or Mr. Kumara still bitter for a chance to get his own back at this foreign madam? Was not she obsessed also to rule her young white yogi? This need to grab at earth here stood upon and legislate as with a sky-high mandate, wasn't this the Mahabharat theme? As the bus diverted now to Hastinapur, she saw a fruit seller with his river produce, Tarabuja came to mind, in Hindi for a watermelon grown upon the vine. One slipped suddenly from the vendor's hands and rolled beneath the hurtling bus, crunching to paste the red heat of its sweetness beneath hard wheels and scattering black seeds of action and reaction to the wind. Hastinapura, once the golden city, had been the fruit sought through bitter feuds. Arrival. The City of Elephants, here, revived by Pandit Nehru, 1949, to conjure a dynastic India, or author his. The City of Elephants, an emblem royal as the seal of Rajas, with scanty shops hugging to life's path, stuck like flies to commerce. A road of hopes, nearby a hill, an upward jungle track, and at its base, Chauhan's ambassador car. He was waiting there to lead their winding tour to Pandeshwara Fort and its ruined stones, believed by a fisherman to be the last remaining archaeological record of Dhritarashtra, that old blind king who'd perfected misrule's art from here. The bus drove forward, following its guide, with kids psyched up and teachers fearing outbreaks of misdemeanors. They might rival monkeys leaping off the hill from tree to tree. The mock red fort still held a Shiva lingam. From Pandav time, the Swami told Chauhan, as were the snake-like roots of an ancient banyan. The children attempted reverence, filing in and out of the temple. Released, they'd scream away up concrete steps to view more vistas than this official site of once upon a time. As for the ruined mounds and hidden caves, all were off limits by government decree. Everyone back in the bus, Kumara yawned. He had been here before, but never told. Never one to be seen to help or hinder, preferring the biding of time and pulling of strings to see the fall of Madam. Poonam Goyal was flirting openly with Rajinda. Kids or not, this was a coming out to prime the fire for their rendezvous inside a mango orchard. Margot had walked about and told her beads in silent thought, watching her white yogi walking and nodding beside Brijpal Chauhan, the talker. Apparently, this is not the tour, Yogi reported. We're going to Jambudweep. The bus's air brakes grunted like a herd of elephants returning to their riverbed. An ancestral Ganga had once flowed from here and flooded its banks, washing away the city millennia ago. Here, bus horns sounded, trumpeting outside this marble entrance to modern Hastinapur, now place of Jains, soul liberating 24 Tirthankaras, inspired by the meditation of a saint, the woman in white, Gyan Mataji, a modern Muni. Her domain of Ahimsa's non-violent philosopher kings had come back to Raja Bharata's blood-stained land and built a marble picture of the cosmos, of lotus halls, green lawns, and waterways.
It's getting more exciting. It's giving me an idea for doing a series of stories where I skip the beginning and I just, you know, jump in right in the middle here and right in the middle there. That would be kind of cool. And then that would take effort and planning, so screw it. Let Singh deal with that kind of stuff. So, thank you, Singh. Mist is still up here. She is just a happy little girl. Bend her happy little fuzzy tummy. I used to think that it's hard to tell what a black cat is thinking. If they're biting you, they're not happy. There, that takes care of that. You're not biting anybody right now.
Oh, you're saying, oh, my ears are so happy.
Scratching her ear.
Yes, and the little whiskies and little chinny. And how about the little Norval Joe?
I did that joke to Cliff. Right, I'm repeating myself, so I should just hurry the hell up. Here's Norval Joe, his story, he's back. And the topic of Horn, if you've forgotten by now. If you haven't, well, I've just reminded you. Has it really been? Just okay, here's Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number, I think it's 402, but I already shut down my writing program so that nothing else is running on this computer, to see if that's what's causing the garbling sound when I record. So, where was I? 402, with a prompt of, I don't know, what was it? Choice? No. Coast? No. Oh, horn. That's right, I looked it up two or three times, just to make sure I got the prompt right this time. Well, here's my story. My cat likes to sneak out the door every chance she gets. We don't like her to go out because she always catches birds and brings them into the house. So I got a bell to warn birds and put it on her collar. It's not like she's purebred or anything, but she acted all offended anyway. She sat in the corner and refused to leave. I figured she wanted something more refined than a simple bell. I took it off the collar and attached a French horn instead. She still just sits there. I can't figure her out. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Do you want a French horn, little mist? Do you want a French horn? Do you want a French horn? Do you want me to stop talking like this? Okay.
Thank you, Norval Joe. Ooh, new activity on Mist being all roly-poly, I guess. People like out-of-focus pictures of black cats. Oh, all right. That's a cat. That's a cat for you. Maybe I should put that in the show notes. Hold on. Let me just go copy and go over to edit post. Scroll up to the section where there's the flicker bit, and then paste. There. Now she's in there. You happy now? No? Well, then maybe you should listen to Muncie. Yeah. Listen to Muncie. He'll tell you what's right. Although he's sick, too. He probably caught it from Richard. You know, that community thing? Because nothing brings community together like horrible, debilitating diseases passed around in the pest house. You know those places that used to be on islands that folks coming to the country would have to stay in? Oh, we see a little bit of a rash on you. You need to stay in the pest house. And then they would be like, oh, okay, I'll just stay here for a bit. And it turned out that there would be some people with horrible diseases like cholera and plague, and they would be in the pest house too, and they'd pass that around, and the pest house would turn into a abattoir. It would guarantee that the people would get sick and die. Wasn't that a great concept? Yeah. Quarantine. Great way to kill people. It's just wonderful. I'm going to put you in quarantine.
Hello, little mist. You're not going in quarantine. I'm going to pet your tummy.
Okay. Here's Muncie, and hopefully you don't catch what he has.
Greetings, Wrecking Balls, and welcome to January and the new nickname that January brings. Muncie here. Partially recovered from a bronchial infection that wrecked me, and almost able to speak again. What have you been up to? I've been almost dying, but then at the last minute, not dying, because I am a fuck-up, and I never follow through on things I start. You want a story? Okay. At the Record Company Meeting, by Christopher Monroe. How about ska? The genre originated in the 50s, blended with punk in the 70s, and came back in the 90s. 20 years appears to be how long it takes before each ska revival, so the time seems to be right. Let's bring the horn section back. I'm thinking it'll replace dubstep. It's the same market, young, energetic people who want to dance. Currently, they dance to dubstep, but do they have to? Dubstep's the worst. They'll grow to like ska, I think. We just have to explain it to them. Hey, you. Don't listen to that. Listen to this. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at MunzyMunzy. I'll be back next week, y'all, assuming I don't die. So look forward to that. Huzzah!
Don't worry, Muncie. We'll put your consciousness into a computer that will hopefully not force clones of me to go through testing over and over and over. That would be bad. It would be GLaDOS Muncie. Right. Oh, thank you, Muncie. And Wrecking Ball? We're Wrecking Ball? Well, I am pretty good Wrecking Ball at wrecking. I wrecked my presence on Empire Avenue, if I didn't mention that. So those of you out there who have social media presences, you may want to retweet, replurk, re-Facebook, re-whatever. Just spread the word around that, I don't know, hey, I was part of a weekly challenge. I find it fun. Would you like to be a part of it? Hey, Muncie brought in that cat person, although she didn't write her own story, I guess. I guess she was just reading them. She doesn't like... All right, he probably has some sort of, you know, blackmail on her. Like, okay, you record this for me while I'm dying, or I'll tell the world, oh, wait, I'm dying. And, you know, yeah. I was a lot funnier last night, wasn't I? Maybe I should just throw it to Tura. Take over here and I'll read a joke book. I think Milton Berle's got one out there. I can get it on Kindle. Wait, I don't have a Kindle.
The man paused at the edge of the forest, panting heavily. At last, he broke cover for a distant clump of trees. He had almost made it when he heard the horn sound blowing away and the rider's tally-hos. Hiding was futile now, so he ran on. He reached the estate wall, but the stiff paws locked over his fists made climbing impossible. The hounds pulled him down and snapped for his throat through the fur suit and the fox mask, until the master called them off. Next time, they would handicap him with more weight, just to be sure.
Thank you, Tura. Words to live by, words to die by, words to be undead by and be a vampire or a zombie or possibly a zombie vampire by. You know, I was heading home yesterday from a shopping spree when I had to get some Baileys. I'm not drinking Baileys this morning. It's the cappuccino mixed drink, which I got, which is very cheap and actually it tastes all right. It's a little more interesting than, say, straight hot cocoa. And I was just sick. There's only one rock station left in town. The truck that I've got now has just an AM/FM radio. I'm not going to use the cassette. If I try using Siri to play music on the phone, it doesn't sync up or link. Gina's got the truck with the Bluetooth and the this and the that. And what does she do? She listens to AM radio. So I switched it to the educational station for NPR. There was a show that was Lemonade. And I was like, huh? Okay, I'm going to look up Lemonade. And it's not Lemonade. It's it says it's a news show, but it's really 3 years old. Totally missed it. It's a storytelling show on NPR. So I'm going to listen to a few episodes of that before I add it to my list of recommended shows up on my site that are by podcast, but they're really not podcasts. They're radio shows that are distributed by podcast. That's what all it is. 99% of it now, the 99% is just all the same crap that you hear on radio, but when you want to. We are the 1% now, and they're trying to bring us down. So we will take a hold of Wall Street by the throat, do our 100-word stories until the cops come and destroy our little library and tear down our shacks. And that's what Planet Z is for, I suppose.
They say that the Secret Service keeps a brain-dead clone of the president in case he needs an organ transplant, but I think they got the two mixed up. It's not a perfect copy of the guy. Clone President tends to cackle and drool a bit more, and his left eye wanders like that Mad-Eye Moody in the Harry Potter movies. Then there's a horn sticking out of the middle of his head. People call him the Unipresident, and the cabinet members are reluctant to butt heads with him over policy. We tolerate this mutant, because the Vice President's a fucking lunatic.
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories on the topic of Horn. The first weekly challenge of 2014, number 402. I'm changing the topic of 404 to be not found. The list of upcoming topics is up on the site, oneadayuntilthedayidie.com, along with options to share on various social networks like Google Plus and Facebook and all. Share with your friends, share with your enemies, your families. Let them know that this is what you waste your time on. Because I'm not doing the Empire Avenue thing anymore. It's really, it just, I know, I keep bashing them, but it's just pointless. It's just social media guru crap. Ooh, retweet, retweet, and then they do nothing with it. It's like, come on, join us. That's where the real fun is, and you people have found the real fun. Not the fake fun of click, 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 click. Oh, now people think I'm an expert. Oh, clout is so full of crap. Really, the world is full of crap. Shine it through. Find the true, the reality. Crush that coal into a diamond, Superman. Crush that coal. Until you manage to crush that coal into a diamond, Superman, we'll be here next week. The next topic is Lemon. The whole list is going to be up on the site. Until tomorrow, I'll have another story for you. Thank you for listening. And as always, keep it brief.